Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's raising the vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're at liveparanormal.com. We are at raisingthevibrationradio.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. And I am a 27-year talk radio host. I am also the founder of raisingthevibration.org. It's a nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded on this day, November 9th. It's our six-year anniversary in 2016. To carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane, after her passing. And I founded it today because today is my mama's birthday. So happy birthday to mom, who is at home, not at home at the house, but at home with spirit. And I miss her very much. And so this is always kind of a wonderful day and a bittersweet day because it's her birthday, so I miss her. But it's also the day that I founded RaisingTheVibration.org. And so that always makes me think about how her legacy and her love and her kindness and her teachings are carried on even this many years after her death. So welcome. Welcome on this very special day. And because it's a very special day, I want to have a very special friend on because I like to share this day with friends. So my guest today, it's her first time on Raising the Vibration. Every week on the show, I pick out, you know, folks that I find to be the brightest, most beautiful and loveliest minds and hearts and souls in the spiritual community and the paranormal community, the artistic community, the world of give back. And we talk about what's your passion, what's your service, what are you doing to make the world a better place. The four cornerstone words of the movement are peace, love, kindness, and unity. Then the four cornerstone words of this show are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. So what are you doing to raise your own personal vibration? How is that playing into your overall spiritual evolution? And then how are you taking those two wonderful things that you've amassed in your own life and using them to lift others up, to in essence send the elevator down and bring up 100 people and just continue to do that? And then, of course, love, which is the only word duplicated, and it's because there's never enough love in the world. It is true that all you need is love, and there's just not enough. So you got to always use that twice. My guest today is a wonderful friend. She's a wonderfully talented psychic medium. She is a wonderfully talented witch. She is a fantastic person and both an artistic and spiritual person. I love people who are spirituals and creatives at the same time. And it's an honor to have her here. So please welcome my dear friend, Melissa St. Hilaire, to the show. It's too long in coming, my friend, that you haven't been on this show. I don't know how we've managed to miss that, but welcome.
Hello. Hi, Sheena. How are you? And thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Absolutely. It's so good to have you here. So I always ask my guests this to start out. When you hear raising the vibration, what does that mean to you?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, for me, I take it immediately to a mediumship space because, you know, whenever I'm teaching my mediumship classes or hosting seances or what have you, my goal is always to raise everyone's vibration a little higher so that we can, you know, better communicate with spirit, you know, and I always explain, and I'm sure you know, and many of your listeners know, that, you know, spirit exists on a higher plane than we do. And, you know, when we're sleeping and, you know, there are various times in our lives where we're sort of naturally raised. But you know, whenever I have a group of people around and I'm doing this sort of work, my goal is to raise all our vibrations. So, you know, that's what I think of. And I immediately imagine, like, leading everyone on a guided meditation to sort of, like, you know, help them shed their, like, their mundane day, you know, any tensions or nervousness that they have or anything like that. And, you know, just cozy on up with the spirit.
Nice. And when, what do you do in your life? What are the some of the steps of things that you do to raise your...
Oh, goodness.
Vibration.
There's a lot of stuff that I do to try to raise my vibrations because I'm sort of like a naturally anxious person. So,
okay.
You know, meditation is probably my number one thing. You know, I start every single day. As soon as I get out of bed, just about before I do anything else, I head out into my back garden. And, you know, at first I just sort of sit and I listen. I listen to the sounds around me. I listen to the sounds within me. I check in with myself, like, how am I? And I go through, a couple little, like, meditation exercises that I do just to sort of, like, you know, boost my vibrations just to deal with the day, you know. And then depending on the day, I might do little things like that throughout it, you know. But sometimes I raise my vibrations helping out a friend. That was something that I did today, and that you know, made my whole day better, just knowing that I could be there for a friend, you know.
It's a wonderful way to raise your vibration, right? I mean, I think people think that raising the vibration means that you have, and I talk about this all the time when I speak on behalf of the movement, that you have to do some big, giant thing, right? That raising the vibration means you have to, you know, give up everything and do nothing but meditate and start your life over. I mean, you can do all that if you want, but you can begin to lift your vibration in such beautifully simple ways, right? It doesn't need to be a whole life overhaul.
Oh, my gosh, totally. Yeah, I mean, literally, like, you know, there was I recently led a ritual at an event called Bell Book and Candle. And the night before, I was super nervous because it's my first sort of public outing since the pandemic started. And, you know, of course, it's been a while. And I had to be up on stage, and it was a whole thing. So I was just sort of like in a state. And I was like, well, what can I do? Because I didn't have a lot of energy because a lot of my energy was being consumed by nervousness, right? So I didn't have a lot of energy to do anything big or bombastic. And what I ended up doing was just I got out my iPad and my Apple Pencil, and I opened up there's an app called Procreate, and I just sat and started doodling circles. And I must have drawn about 200 little circles, and that worked. You know, it's just like a simple, seemingly silly thing, but it's like art therapy, right? And it really works.
Yeah. And it does, right? It's whatever you have to do to sort of lift yourself up. And it can be any weird little thing. Like, I go to crystal shops. Like, I love crystal shops, both, like, metaphysical bookstores, but also just, like, lapidary stores where it's just crystals. And if if I feel stressed out, I'll go walk around a crystal shop and just sort of soak up the energy. They always smell like incense, and there's always, like, cool Eastern music playing, and I find it just sort of fills me up and rejuvenates me. And I think part of raising your vibration really is it's becoming filled up again, right? Because life can kind of drain your battery.
Yes.
And as you get drained, sometimes your vibration can fall. And, I mean, not just being tired. You're tired, you take a nap, you feel better. That's easy peasy. You're hungry, you eat, you feel better. But I'm talking about, like, really being drained from
– Yes.
Energetically, spiritually, and emotionally from things around you. And it happens to all of us. We all get drained by things around us. And you have
totally.
To find a way to refill yourself, right?
Totally. And I feel like, you know, because we're both healers and light workers, right? And
sure,
I find that, you know, it's a calling, you know, like we do this because we love it. We have a passion, and we you know, really want to help people. But we also, you know, they always say, healer, heal thyself. And there are times,
right.
You know, after I've done like 6 readings back to back, and I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, you know, where you're like I am super drained, and it's not like food's not going to help it, a nap isn't going to help it. Sometimes when that happens to me, the thing that raises my vibrations the most is literally just going outside and like sticking my bare feet in my, I have a tiny little front yard, and I just like put my bare feet in the dirt and the grass. And sometimes that's enough, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And that's all it takes for some folks, right? I live near the ocean, so I will go down to the, and even if I can't get out and actually go to the ocean, I will drive to the ocean. So I have a, there's about a 10-minute drive between my house and my girlfriend's house. And so I go to my house. I have a cat in both houses, and because she has cancer and he just recently had worms, they can't, little Cullen and worms, they can't be in the same place. So I have a cat each place. So every day I do that drive between my house and her house, and I make sure that I take PCH both ways. I mean, it's a little bit longer to take PCH, but I just think if you're going to live by the ocean, you should at least look at the ocean every day.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And, you know, the ocean, for me, is a huge reset button, I've noticed, and I'm sure you feel the same way. There's something about it, you know, just like seeing that great expanse, seeing that seemingly infinite horizon off in the distance, and like hearing the waves, that sort of lovely, you know, organic white noise. And it just like, whenever I'm feeling especially drained, where it's like nothing is working, you know, I've tried meditating, I've tried tea, I've tried crystals, I've tried everything, and yet I still feel just sort of, you know, sort of like down and drained and, you know, not necessarily depressed, because that's a different thing, but just that, you know, lacking that spark, you know. I've noticed if I go to the beach and I just sit there and just don't speak, you know what I mean, just sit and stare out at the water for like, you know, even like 10, 20 minutes, I could sit there for hours, but I could do it in a few minutes. I just find just doing that, just all of a sudden, it's almost like it just wipes the slate clean, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's funny because I grew up down here, and I was so place where there's more art and there's more, you know, people that resonate with my spiritual and political values, and all that is good, and I'm glad I did that when I was 23, when I moved to the Valley. I love my house in the Valley, and I love the Valley. But when I would come down here to visit my mom, and my two best friends are down here, I would always say to my mom as a joke, like, this place smells so good, because the smell of the ocean at night, right, is intoxicating, and it feels so good that if I didn't work four blocks from my house, I would move back here. Well, lo and behold, COVID killed where I was working, my old radio affiliate, and so I no longer worked four blocks from the house, and then I got this gig where I basically can work anywhere and do it because it's syndicated. So, you know, I kind of came down here and just never kind of went home. I mean, I've been back up there, but I just sort of relocated here, and I realized that because this place, when I was growing up and I was so angry that it was such a spiritually conservative place, right, where there wasn't a lot of room to have alternative lifestyles of any kind. But now I think this place needs me. I think it needs more help. And I think it needs me to come down here and sort of spread the word. And it needs my help and my love. And so it's kind of my pet project now. I'm bringing the psychic, spiritual, metaphysical love to this place. And it feels good. You know what I mean? And my heart's always kind of been in both places, so I've always lived back and forth between both places anyhow, and I still do. But there's just something about this place that's beginning to just sort of open up spiritually. Like when I lived down here as a kid, my dad was having this Super Bowl party that he had to have because, you know, everybody had to take a turn, and it was his turn for work. And the wife of the boss came over to approve our house, which is, you know, when you think about it, kind of shitty, but that was the thing. So she comes over, and my mom was a fine artist and an Irish Scorpio. So the house was full of dragons and fairies that she had made, or ones that she had bought carved out of stone. And the lady basically told her in order to throw the party, she had to put them away. And I always remember my mom saying, and I told your father, I will put them away once. Do not ever ask me to do that again. And so I think now that this area is trying to sort of lift its vibration in that way and incorporate more spirituality and more different kinds of beliefs, then I think it needs me here to come and put a giant Buddha and a Ganesh on the lawn and, you know, and bring it. And I think we find at different times in our life, right, that we go where we're needed, right? Like you said, we're healers, we're light workers, we're always on call. Spirit calls and we go.
It's true, and it's funny because, you know, I lived for many, many years. Well, I'm from Massachusetts originally, but I moved to L.A. in 1998, and for many years I lived down technically in Koreatown, but we, you know, the realtor called it Hancock Park adjacent to make it sound fancier, of course. And But I lived there for many years, and, you know, it was weird because, I kept trying to sort of find my way, and I couldn't find my way. And then some things sort of conspired to make it so we had to move, and we ended up moving to the Valley. And that's when I moved, like, right down the street practically from the Green Man store, which is where I do readings out of now. And it's funny because, you know, it's one of those things where you talk about being called to a place. You know, like, I was definitely called to the Valley, which I think is, because I would have never lived here otherwise. You know, that was not a place in my mind where I thought, gee, I'd love to live in the Valley. Not that I had anything against it. It just wasn't, you know, I always pictured, like, Malibu or something. But, you know, I moved here, and, like, I feel like, you know, this is exactly where the universe wants me to be right now. This seems to be where I can do the most good, you know, for now.
Well, isn't that interesting that it was where you were supposed to be, and then suddenly it turned out there was a store there that you would wind up working at and building a community. Like, it was just waiting for you to come, you know?
Totally, yeah. And that's how it felt, you know. When I remember the first time I walked in there, I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm home now. And, you know, I'm from Massachusetts. My mom lives in Plymouth. And, you know, we've always, you know, she's always taken me to psychics. So we would go down to Cape Cod, like the tip of Provincetown, and she would go see psychics, and I would stand around, like, kind of bored, but poking at crystals and things. You know, back before I knew what any of this stuff was, but, like, forever intrigued by it, you know. And then, you know, here I am living the dream now. And, you know, all I did was answer a call, you know, and I put, like, I came out here to be a screenwriter, and I struggled with that for so long, and I was miserable, and it felt like doors kept closing in my face. And, you know, and then I sort of fell into this community of witches and psychics and mediums, and met you, of course, and, you know, had all these wonderful experiences, and now I strangely have a career in it. And it's just so funny how the world works, where, you know, you can be fighting and fighting for so long, and then you finally step into your own power. You finally say, okay, all this stuff I tried to ignore, all these, you know, weird intuitions and feelings and voices and things, like all this stuff I tried to hide from everybody for years, I'm now going to embrace and just be okay with the fact that, you know, some people might think I'm a little bizarre. And now I'm, like, happier than I've ever been. Like, it's so bizarre how that happens.
No, and I went through the same journey. You know, I saw my mom was a teacher and a therapist, and my grandmother was a psychologist. And then my mom, you know, had this thing we didn't talk about, and then we moved out here. She came out of the closet when I got out of high school as a psychic medium. And I saw my mom, like, her whole life was dealing with people's stuff. And I thought, God, I don't ever want that life. I don't ever want to just have to be somewhere dealing with everyone's stuff. So I became an actor, which is basically telling the story of everyone's stuff, right?
Right,
and then a writer, which became writing everyone's stuff. And then a talk radio host that I fell into, which is basically you sit around and listen to everyone's life story, which is, in essence, their stuff.
Yeah.
And then I realized I was kind of doing it anyhow. And when my mom died, the year my mom died, she just basically told me, okay, kid, now you do this. It's time for you to stop fooling around with this. Time to open up your spiritual practice. and basically said, look, I never had the courage to do it, but I raised you to be strong enough to have the courage to do it. And I thought, well, I never didn't listen to my mom, so I did it. And then immediately knew, honestly, that it was what I should have always done with my life. It was what I was meant to do always. And I don't like to regret things, so I don't want to say things like I wish I had gone right into it when I was young, because I don't believe in that. But I do sometimes wish I had 30 more years of it to do past when I will probably live. You know what I mean?
Oh,
because I just feel like I'm home.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's funny, too. I find, like, when I look back at my childhood and the things, you know, I was a kid and I was addicted to ghost stories and, you know, would try to figure out how to talk to ghosts and ghost hunting. And, I had a Ouija board at a very young age and tarot cards. And it's weird because, you know, it's like I was so into that when I was a kid. And then high school, college, put all that stuff away, like as if I was packing it away and just writing it off as some sort of childhood fantasy. And then, you know, boom, you're an adult and you find yourself in this situation. You know, it's like you come full circle to all the things that you loved as a child. And there is a part of me, I totally agree, there's like a part of me that looks back and goes, gosh, like, what more could I have, like, how many more people could I have helped? Like, what more could I have done if I had started this journey much sooner? But like you, I don't want to live in regret. And I feel like maybe I had to go off my path for a little while and have all these other experiences, some good, some not so good. But to, you know, make me more of like a well-rounded sort of lived person to then dive back into this stuff. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, and everything that I ever did as an artist, I'm thankful for because it taught me how to channel from spirit. It taught me how to interpret messages and stories, which is what acting is, which is basically what being a psychic is, right? It taught me how to be able to speak and present in front of people, which is a very hard thing for a lot of folks.
It is. I wasn't able to do that for years.
My mom couldn't. That was her problem. She was great one-on-one with people, but she couldn't get up in front of a crowd of people because she was just mortified.
It's hard.
So,
yeah, it's hard.
You know, and that's something that's been very easy for me because I've been performing in one way or another since I was very little. So I feel like everything led me right here. And I also think, and I talk to my clients about this all the time, there is more than one phase to your life, right? I mean, you're supposed to, your life isn't like a straight line, your path. Sometimes it is for some people, but for other people, sometimes it goes in one direction and then spirit says, okay, that was lovely. Now for the next portion of our show, we're going to do this.
Right, exactly.
And it's okay.
Yeah,
I was just reading. You don't have to feel like you're off path or like you're betraying your love of something. I mean, I'll always be an actor. If somebody's got something going on, they call me. I always say yes, and I go do it. But I don't have to do that as my main focus anymore. Like, I like to say I kind of wear my underwear on the outside now.
Right. That's a good way to put it because, you know, when I worked in the film industry, I was, you know, constantly trying to hide, like, any of my quote-unquote, like, weirdness, you know, my intuitive nature and, like, things like that.
Because
I just wanted to be normal, you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to be like, I'm normal, just like you, as if, you know, people who work in the film industry are normal.
Right.
we're all fringe.
Right. I was just going to say, as if anyone in the film industry is normal. Right.
I know, right, but that was my mindset because I thought I was so abnormal, you know, and it was weird because I had, you know, I would have sort of a strained relationship with people on set, you know, where I never really felt comfortable. I never felt like I fit in, you know, and I always felt awkward. And it's funny because, you know, now that I'm sort of like, you know, out of the broom closet, some people from my past that sort of like, you know, come back into my life and completely welcoming me with open arms. You know what I mean? Like, they don't think I'm weird at all. They don't think it's strange. They're just like, of course, you've been like this whole time. It's great to see you finally do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. Maybe they would have accepted me back then, but I was just too, like, afraid to face it at the time, you know?
Yeah. for me, too, the transition was so much easier than I thought it was going to be. Like you, I thought they were going to ride me out of the entertainment business on a rail. But most, I would say 99% of people have been so lovely. And a lot of people were like, I wondered when you interviewed me, there was something about you. And I'm like, oh. And sometimes I would interview people and then they would say that, like, what did you just do to me? And I'm like, interviewed you? I mean, did that happen to you too? Did people figure you out?
Absolutely, because, you know, I and it's funny because I've never been a journalist or a radio host or anything like that, but I have a sort of natural tendency to interview people, and I've always have since I was little. I just love, you know, asking people questions and prompting them to tell me about their lives. I don't know why. It's just something that I love. And, you know, I noticed, like, now I'm like, wow, I've been basically giving psychic readings my whole life without realizing it. Like every conversation I had with a person, whether they were a stranger on the street or a friend, you know, I realize now that like I would intuit things. I would know things without them even saying it. And then I would ask questions about the thing that I would intuit. And then I would get these looks at me like, how did you know that, Melissa? I haven't told anybody that before, you know, and I'd be like, I don't know. I just do.
Right. Yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too. And I realized when I started interviewing people, that was when I really realized, because I noticed because I did radio for years and, you know, now I look back at the radio I did on the Howard Stern station that was all call-ins. And I'm like, oh, I was kind of reading those people too. Because that was my job, right? Somebody would call in. I'd ask them who they were and where they were from, and then I'd ask what their problem was, and then I'd make fun of them, and I'd hang up, and I'd go. But I had to know who they were to make the joke work.
Right.
And that's
exactly.
In essence what shock jocking is, right? You got to figure out who somebody is. You make a funny comment about their story, and that's what happens. But it was when I started interviewing people that I realized that I was hearing a conversation coming out of their mouth, and I was hearing another mm-hmm. one coming out of their solar plexus.
Yes,
and I thought,
I'm
hearing two sets of messages here. And that was when I realized that there was something. Because, I mean, I didn't know. My mother was such an amazing 360 psychic medium that mm-hmm. I just didn't think I could ever have her kind of gifts. Therefore, I thought mm-hmm. I didn't have gifts at all.
Right, right.
So it just never occurred to me that I would also have her gifts, that they were hereditary. None of that ever occurred to me. So I just assumed I wasn't.
Yeah, I completely relate to that, just because not so much from my mom, but from my grandmother, because my grandmother would do things like, you know, she predicted, she knew that my mom was going to have a girl. She knew what my looks were going to be, and my looks are not the dominant genes in my family. Like as far as like, if you were looking at like, you know, biology or what have you, I should have looked vastly different than I do. But somehow my grandma just knew. And she would also like, you know, talk about fairies living in the moss and in the trees and how they would steal little trinkets for you if you didn't leave out offerings. But she didn't use the word offerings, but you know, like you have to leave them shiny gifts and things like that. And it's mm-hmm. funny when you look back at stuff like that, because I would, you know, see my grandma and she just knew so much, you know, and I kind of put her on a pedestal because I remember thinking like I could never know as much as her. I could never understand the natural world as well as she does. And I think that's partly like she got sick when I was 13 and she wasn't really herself after that. And I think I kind of put all that stuff aside when that happened, because it's the same thing. It's like I told myself this narrative of you'll never be as good as your grandma, so don't even bother trying, you know. And thankfully I got over that. It took a while. But, you know, there's a certain point.
I heard mm-hmm. guests talking to me out of their sternum, and I was like, well, that's what's happening here.
Right, and for me it was spirits. You know, I would hear spirits, like I would be trying to talk to someone and I would hear spirits around them telling me about the person's life, like just little, you know, not whole complete sentences, but just little bits and pieces, little fragments, you know, or I'd shake a person's hand and I would get a flash in my mind, just like a picture, you know, and,
right.
You know, I remember the first the first time that that happened to me, where I finally admitted to it and blurted it out, was several years ago now, but I went to visit my dad in Florida and, you know, talk about being a spiritual person in a very conservative area. And he took me to this garden club. And, you know, I mean, you know, it was kind of interesting because I like gardening, but everyone was much older than me and I felt kind of out of place. And so I was just sort of, you know, hanging back by myself. And this woman spots me, like, from across this big room, walks directly up to me and says, "Are you a witch?" And I was like, yes, don't burn me, you know. And
right.
And then she says, "And do you have any gifts? Because I know sometimes, you know, witches have abilities." And without thinking, Sheena, I had never, ever, ever spoken this aloud before in my life, and to this day, I don't really know why it popped out of my mouth in that moment, but I just blurted out, "I see dead people." And, you know, she laughed a little bit because, of course, it's, you know, a Sixth Sense reference. But she said, "Oh, wow, that's fascinating. Do you see anyone around me?" And I was like, you know, I think that I do. I said, and I described what I saw, which I was even confused by what I saw, because I just saw this, older woman with long hair, but she was completely white. And in the moment, I kind of misinterpreted it because I just sort of assumed, well, maybe she's all, you know, so white because, you know, she's a specter and she's appearing that way, you know. And but I said that to her. I just blurted it all out. You know, I see this woman. She is totally white. It's like her eyes are white. Her hair is white. Everything is white. And this woman, she starts crying. And she goes, "That's my aunt who just passed away. She was an albino."
Oh, my God.
And I was like, right? And I was like, yeah. And I remember I had this moment where I felt like, you know, all the color, I felt everything drained from me because I was so shocked that it was that accurate, you know?
Right.
But it was
weird
because it was like in that one moment that, and it was like, you know, I was taken off guard. You know, if I had time to prepare or think about it, I don't think I would have said those things. But because I was sort of taken off guard, it all just sort of came out. And that was sort of my first like aha moment of like, wait a minute. There's something else going on here. This is not just my imagination. This is not just like, you know, because, you know, obviously, you know, we worry about like mental health issues. Like, what are we actually seeing? You know, like, what are we actually experiencing? And that was like my first confirmation of this is beyond you. This is not just in your mind. This is a real phenomena that is actually happening, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
I remember one of the first time I told my mom, and I was like, I always thought my mother thought her gifts were a burden because she was so empathic. She never wanted to leave the house, and I didn't see her gifts as like this amazing thing.
Mm.
So I never really asked her how she felt about them because, you know,
true.
One day, a couple of years before she passed, we were sitting in front of the TV, and I didn't even look at her, and I said, "I have something to tell you." She was like, "Okay," because I told her everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a thing, you know, she probably thought I was going to say, you know, I robbed a bank, and I got caught. I said, "I think I've inherited your gifts." And she just kind of laughed, and I looked at her, and she said, "Oh, of course you have, honey. I always knew that." And she said,
"Aww.
You know what? It's the most beautiful thing in the world, and you're going to love it."
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew that she thought of her gifts as beautiful, you know.
That's
and I'm so,
amazing.
Glad we had that conversation before she passed. Because
you needed to.
I always thought her gifts were kind of a pain in the butt to her.
Right.
And it was so wonderful to hear that they were something that made her feel good and that she knew that I had her gifts. Because at that point, it had just gotten crazy with me interviewing people. I mean, it was so obvious. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. There was no denying it anymore at that point.
Right. I'm sure you had moments too with friends, because I've had moments, you know, with various friends over the years where I've known something that they maybe didn't want to tell me for a variety of reasons.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Not necessarily. You know what I mean? Not necessarily anything to do with me. It's just something that's just private to them, you know? And there's been so many times in my life when I've been like, you know, someone's like, oh, I'm going through this hard time and I don't really want to talk about it, but that's why I haven't called you back. And then I'll just blurt out what they're going through. And they'll be like, well, you know, who did you hear that from? How do you know that? And I'll be like, I don't know. It just, you know, and, you know, it's funny. And it's so funny because I feel, you know, whenever my old friends get in touch with me now and they're like, ah, I knew you were going to end up doing this stuff. It's so comforting to me because, you know, I had all those big shot dreams. Like I wanted to be this rich, famous screenwriter, director person. You know, I wanted to be like the female Quentin Tarantino for some reason. And you know, and now I'm doing this and everyone's like, this so suits you so much more, Melissa. Like you would not have, because I don't like to leave my house either, you know?
Yeah.
And when you
and my mom
could have
hung out all day long and played with crystals.
Exactly. I know. And it's funny because my grandma was the same way. My grandma she lived on a lot of acres in rural Massachusetts, you know, next to a cornfield. And that was enough for her. You know, she would just walk around her yard and go and, you know, grow things, take a walk in the woods. And it's funny because I'm so much more like her. You know, I'm super content to be a homebody and like do my, you know, psychic readings on the phone or what have you. But my mom is vastly different. She's one of those people who is, like, constantly on the go. And I love her, but she exhausts me, you know? She's just, like, she cannot stay home. And I tried to tell her about this stuff. So when I first started to get into this stuff, I shouldn't say first started because I've been into it my whole life. But when I first started to take it seriously, like, as an actual career, and I had to tell her, I was a little nervous, to be honest, because she, you know, even though she went to psychics when I was a kid, seemed to be sort of like a disconnect between, it was sort of like that's something that other people do. You know what I mean? That's not,
right.
Like, we don't do that. We're normal, you know?
And, we go to psychics, but we aren't psychics, just so you know.
Right. Yeah, this is how this works, you know, and I had to tell her, you know, that I do this. Like the very first thing she said to me, she blurts out and she's like, well, you don't really believe any of this stuff, do you? And I was like, well, Mom, you know, I am a skeptic, Well, that's the thing, you know, and it's funny because she'll say that. She'll say, well, you don't really believe this. And she wants to believe that I don't really believe it and that it's, you know, just pretend or something. But then, in this next breath, she'll be like, well, you know, this one time, this really funny thing happened. And she tells this story about how my grandma's favorite flowers were violets. And the spring, right after my grandma passed away, now my mom, you know, she had just bought a house, her own little house in Plymouth, and she has this really nice little garden. She's like super, super into gardening and plants tons and tons of pretty flowers. But she's never once ever planted violets. And right after my grandma passed away, all of a sudden, all over, she said her entire yard, violets just sprang up out of nowhere. And
wow,
they've never come back. It was just that one time, and they've never come back. And she just stares at me, and I'm like, Mom, that was Grammy. Like, that was your mother. Like, how can you say you don't believe it? Like, that you're telling me a story that affirms that this is a thing that happened, you know? And she's just like, oh, I don't know. Maybe, could be. And I'm like, okay, that's all right. It's okay. I'm not going to push her, you know?
Right. Yeah, I understand. Well, it's interesting to me that so many people that partake in that world are not wanting, like, to be a part of it or have their family be a part of it. When I was growing up, when I was in college, I had a boyfriend, and all his family did was go to movies, talk about movies, rap movies. All they did was movies, movies, movies all day long. But yet the first time I met them, he turned around and said to me, if they ask about your acting, tell them it's a phase. And I was like, what? And at that time, I was like, I'm an actor, and it's my whole world. I mean, I was like, this dead serious 19-year-old, right? Acting is my life. But yet all they did was talk about, to the point where I worked for a movie theater company, and my job was to put out the posters. And they, you know, we could take some of the posters that hadn't been used in the theaters, and that was all they wanted for Christmas. Could you give me a poster for this? Could you give me a poster for that? I wasn't supposed to be doing it and be in the family. And I never, that never really jived with me, but I see a lot of that in the spiritual world. And I think that's what I was worried about the entertainment business, what I talked about earlier, because I know so many people that they go to psychics and they have healers and they go to Reiki, and but if they think you're actually doing it, then they're like, oh, well, you're obviously not serious about being an artist.
Right. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, and it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me as well, you know, because I still have my, you know, my screenwriter, is, you know, the person, the writer is still there. I still write every day, even if I don't show anybody what I write. It's still there, you know. And in fact, right now, I mean, I can't go into too many details because it's a to-be-announced project. But, you know, right now I'm back in the grind. I'm doing, you know, I think you know what it is, but I just don't want to announce it publicly. But, like, you know, I'm back in this, in, you know, doing pre-production meetings and talking about, oh, let's, you know, let's line up some interviews. Let's start shooting. Let's do this. And it's so strange to, like, you know, try to shift my brain back into that gear after taking such a long break from it, because I was, you know, before I was mostly focused on that with just sort of dabbling in witchcraft and readings and stuff. And then with the pandemic, it, you know, it changed everything. I had a project that I was, you know, in the process of, you know, having meetings with people right when the lockdown happened, and that project obviously got shelved. And, you know, since then I've just done this full time. And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh gosh, how do I plan out these, you know, production meetings again? What am I doing? Like, what's happening? But it's
right.
Still there, that part of me that wants to, like, you know, express things.
Sure.
And, you know, now the drive is a little different, because back then it was like, oh, I want to make a, you know, a blockbuster movie and impress everybody. Now it's more like I want to tell my friends' stories, to share, you know, how they're trying to, you know, raise vibrations, how they're trying to help people in this different, you know, new age spiritual way. But, you know, they're still wonderful people. They're regular people. It's not like we're somehow, you know, we still have to go grocery shopping and sleep and eat, and you know what I mean? And it's like, so now I want to, like, tell all my friends' stories and sort of show that, you know, we're just people like anybody else. We just do something a little different, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is kind of what you do.
I feel the same way. And, you know, I talk about this during my interfaith sermons all the time, that when God speaks, the answer is yes, and the reason is because. And that's kind of how I feel, you know, that I just go where Spirit tells me to go, and I just do what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
And
isn't that amazing?
If they say tomorrow, make a TV show or do this thing, I say, oh, okay. And I just wait.
Exactly.
And I think there was, when you were growing up in the entertainment business, right, we spent so much time in this perpetual place of angst, waiting for this thing that we didn't have.
Yes.
And it feels so good just to just live my life every day and know if there's something Spirit needs me to do, they'll tell me. And just be prepared to say yes.
I love that. See, that's exactly it, you know, and you just nailed it. I did. I spent so much of that time of my youth, you know, not that I'm, you know, old now, but, you know, the 20s.
Right.
I spent so much of that time so laser focused on, I got to make something happen, and but yet at the same time being somehow, like, afraid of it, you know. And, you know, now, you know, I kind of, like, just said, okay, I'm just going to go with the flow, you know, like, and see what happens. And if the universe wants me to do a TV show, then by golly, I'll do it. And if they don't, meh. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
it's
funny.
It's whatever I'm called to do next.
Yeah, you know, and I love that. I find, and that might scare some people, you know, as a life, but for me, it's very freeing. I find it a much healthier way of living, to be honest.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. I felt like I white-knuckled through my whole life And I was always trying to, as I was taught in acting school, right, to just keep knocking on that door until it opened. But if you're knocking on the door for however many years of your life, Melissa, and it never opens, maybe that's not your door.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe there's another door that's your door.
And that was like,
you know,
when
I have clients,
experience.
And now we're on to the clients, and I'm sure you have these clients too, it's like they're still trying to hook up with the person from, like, for 20 years.
Oh,
it's like maybe
yeah.
if you're still trying to hook up with somebody for 20 years and it's not going anywhere, maybe that's just not your door, you know?
Exactly.
Maybe
and
that's
could
not
be
where
career...
you're supposed to be.
Yeah, I know. I get this all the time. I'm forever – one of my favorite things to deal with client-wise is to sort of discuss, like, you know, whenever someone is having a crossroads moment where they're like, I don't know if I want to stay or go, if I don't want this job or this partner or what, you know. And, like, that's when I feel like I can do the most work. Because I'm just like, okay, here we go. Let's break it down. What is your spiritual path? What is your passion? What lights your fire? What makes you get up out of bed in the morning? Because that's the thing. You know, I think we get these ideas in our head, you know, maybe from parents or society or teachers or what have you. But it's like we're sort of programmed when we're young. You know, when I was really young, I was super good at math, like scarily good at math. And so everyone, Melissa, you need to be an engineer. This is what you need to do. This is the track you need to be on. You have to do this. You have to do this. And I would just, you know, I ended up having like a breakdown in my senior year in high school because I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, I do not want to find, I'm good at math. I don't want to do it for the rest of my life, you know? And, you know, I think sometimes we get this programming in our head, like, of what we should do, and we forget what we're meant to do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and that we're all creatures of service. So what we're meant to do could be something totally different. It could change next week. Spirit could say, thank you so much for that. Now please do this.
Right, exactly. Exactly, yeah, because it's kind of like, you know, maybe you were meant to do, you know, one certain thing for a period of time, but then for whatever reason, you fulfilled that role, and now something else sort of, you know, steps into place and says, okay, this now, you know, this is passing the torch. And I love it.
Yeah. And that's okay.
So good.
It's okay to live like that. It's okay to be like that. And it's okay to give yourself permission, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's okay to not know, you know? And I feel like that's another big thing. Like, a lot of people are afraid to sort of live in the unknown. And I feel like, as, you know, when you're psychic mediums, when you're doing the kind of thing that we do, it's like we're kind of in the unknown. Every day is unknown for me. I never know what client I'm going to get. I never know what's going to be thrown at me. And I just have to, you know, just be present, just be in the moment, tap into spirit, you know, and I think that scares a lot of people. It used to scare me, but now I embrace it.
Yeah,
you know?
I do too. Yeah, it used to scare me too, because I had to be somebody who had a plan.
Yeah.
Now the plan is there's no plan. I remember once a few years ago, I was working at my last radio affiliate before COVID killed it, and I met with this manager who, how do I tell this story in 5 minutes? When I was working on the Howard Stern affiliate, the show I was doing at the time was featured in the Sunday Times. And one of the things that happened was all these major agencies hit us up. And we chose to go with one agency because it was basically Howard Stern's agency. But then years after that was done and that show was done and I wasn't even working there anymore and I was at my new affiliate, one of those managers that had hit me up at the time, that agents that had hit me up at the time that was now working as a manager, said, do you want to have lunch and talk? And I said, sure. So I went to this Beverly Hills place and sat in a cabana by the pool with her. And she said, you know, what do you want? And I said, you know, and all I was talking about was like what I had that was making me happy. And she kept saying, No. What do you want? What don't you have? And I was having a hard time answering those questions, and I don't think it made her happy. And I think that was one of the reasons why that turned out not to be a good match for me. Because I think you're taught in the entertainment business that your whole life has to be about wanting all these things you don't have.
Yes. Yes.
And that's just not where I was at. And I find that now COVID comes along, and COVID, the great purifier, comes along, and I realize, having lost everything and then being away, except my spiritual practice, and then being away from people for a year and some, close to 2 years, I've noticed that, there were a lot of things that I was told I wanted, and I didn't really want those things. And there were behaviors that I was putting up with in people because way back in acting school, I was taught as a teenager, you know, take every job you get because it could be your last one, so do everything you can to hang on to it. And I realized I was accepting a lot of really bad, what's the spiritual term, douchey behaviors from people.
Yeah.
Because I felt like if I didn't hang on to everything with my toenails, there would never be anything else. And thank God for COVID, because not being around people, have nothing going on, there not being anybody around, really taught me to free myself from that misnomer that I had to constantly do a song and dance to keep what I had.
Exactly, because you have everything you already need. It's already, you have everything you already need, you know?
Yeah. And anything somebody wants to hold over your head, then that thing's not meant for you. That's the door that's shutting, and you're not supposed to be there.
And probably for a good reason, too, you know, because I feel like there were several doors shut on me that at the time, you know, I kicked and screamed and had a tantrum and was very upset. But when I look back now, I go, thank the gods that that door was shut to me, because I don't even know if I would be alive today if I walked through that door, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't your door.
Right, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. You are absolutely wonderful, my friend. Where can people find you online? And let's do this again soon.
Yes, okay. So the best place to find me online is Instagram, AmericanWitch13. I am also on Twitter and Facebook with the same name. And I'm currently very, very slowly in the process of creating a website. And that's www.AmericanWitch13.com. But right now you'll just see a little subscriber button and an About Me section. But there will be more stuff there eventually.
That's wonderful. And will you come back and we'll do this again? I would love it.
Oh, my God, yes. Anytime. I love you, Sheena. This was so much fun.
I love you, too, sweetheart. I'm honored to have you in my life. You're a very wonderful person, and I'm glad we're doing this on the earth right now. The wonderful Melissa St. Hilaire, everybody, she's wonderful, and what a joy to have her here. And thank you for being here, Melissa. If you missed any of those links, liveparanormal.com, raisingthevibrationradio.com. My nonprofit movement is at raisingthevibration.org. And for all your psychic, spiritual, paranormal needs, I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Please visit that and learn more about me, and on social media everywhere, just at SheenaMetal. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration, take care of yourselves. I love you all. Happy birthday, Mom. I'll see you next time.